This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
DuPont Company welcomes back to the entertainment world former Lieutenant Senior Grade Henry Fonda, United States Naval Reserve, in his first acting role after his 3 years' service. Tonight, Henry Fonda stars in the Now It Can Be Told drama, Spy on the Killer Cycles, on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Before our play, here is Gain Whitman.
Mark Twain once said that everybody complained about the weather, but no one did anything about it. Here's something you can do. Tomorrow you can get that car of yours fully protected against the freeze-up that's sure to strike many sections of the country in the next few weeks, maybe days. Stop at your favorite dealer's tomorrow. Ask him to clean the cooling system of clogging rust and scale with DuPont Cooling System Cleanser. Have leaks stopped with Cooling System Sealer. Have your car protected against freezing, rust, and corrosion by adding a dependable DuPont antifreeze. All of these car protection products are examples of DuPont's better things for better living through chemistry.
Now, for the first time, the story can be told of how government agents checkmated an enemy spy invasion. The DuPont Company presents Henry Fonda in the role of government agent Selden Kramer in Spy on the Killer Cycles and the Cavalcade of America. Our story opens in wartime America. At Dorchester, Massachusetts, government agents are attempting to track down an illegal radio transmitter.
There it is. Did you get it fixed that time?
Somewhere between 90 to 94 degrees. Gosh, Kramer, he doesn't send long enough for me to line him in accurately on this direction plan.
Yeah, it's like trying to get a fix on a will-o'-the-wisp. But we're getting closer. I'll trot it down.
If this turns out to be some high school kid...
Here's Johnson now. Let's see what he got. Hello.
Kramer.
Johnson, did you pick him up that time?
Yes, I did. On still another frequency. In and out, just like before. If it is a spy, he can't be sending much information.
In some codes, he could be sending plenty, even in 10-second flashes. What fix did you get?
Somewhere between 45 and 50 degrees.
45 to 50, huh?
He doesn't give me time to line him up exactly.
Yeah, I know. But somebody is operating a radio transmitter illegally. And we're going to track him down if it takes all year. Stick with it.
If it turns out to be a high school kid, I'll knock his block off.
Let's check our readings on the map. 45 to 50 and 90 to 94 degrees. That should put our mysterious transmitter someplace in this half-mile rectangle. I better run back to Boston and report to the chief.
Sit down, Kramer.
Thanks, Chief.
What about that illegal radio transmitter?
Well, it's tough putting a finger right on it. Whoever does the sending is pretty cagey. His messages are short and snappy. Doesn't give us enough time to pinpoint the location of his transmitter.
Got the approximate fix?
Here, take a look at this. This is a block map of one section of Dorchester. Now, we've got it down this far. The transmitter is located here, right here in this half-mile area.
Uh-huh. But you can't get a pinpoint on it.
Not so far. We've combed that neighborhood for hours. We know every foot of it. But this cookie goes on, sends a couple of words in code, and then he's off before we get the chance to nail him.
So, what's next?
Well, we got a list of every pre-war amateur radio operator in the district. Willard and Johnson are checking on them now.
Good. And while they're doing that legwork, I can use you on another little job.
But, Chief, we got to run down that transmitter.
The other men can handle that for the time being. Here, look at this, Kramer. I want you to run down this gadget.
What is it, Chief?
That's what I want to know.
Looks like aluminum.
No, it's some kind of alloy, I think.
Huh. Funny looking thing. Where'd you get it?
Oh, sent in by some vacationist. Says she found it on the beach.
Another crank?
Could be.
Well, so far we've had packages from Subways, unopened boxes containing everything from fruitcake to Limburger cheese. And now we've got a metal tube with hinges that open up.
And I want to know what it is.
Looks like some new kind of beer can. Don't need an opener. Just press the button and there it is. All right, Chief. I'll run it down and report to you. How about letting Willard keep in touch with me on the other things?
All right. If it'll keep you happy.
Maybe not happy, but I'll feel more satisfied. I just don't like to quit in the middle of a case. Summers, I wish you'd take this gadget and check with Army and Navy. See if they use these things in any of their operations.
Yeah, funny-looking thing. Oh, can opener go with it?
Seems to be some sort of a built-in release. Probably some screwball inventor's idea, the new boon to the modern kitchenette bride. Self-opening tin can. What's the word, Summers?
Well, nothing doing as far as Army-Navy is concerned. It's not a flare shell tube. It's not a dye marker tube.
And they have no idea what it might be?
Nope. Everybody fell in line with your notion. It might be a self-opening tin can.
Well, we'll have to try something else.
Yes, Mr. Kramer?
Miss Oakes, will you get me Professor Roy Matthews at MIT?
Yes, Mr. Kramer.
Sorry you couldn't help you out, Kramer. But I wouldn't hazard a guess as to what that thing might be.
Okay, Summers. Thanks for trying.
Glad to help you out any time. See you again, Kramer.
Right.
Bye, Mr. Summers.
Goodbye.
Oh, Mr. Kramer, Mr. Willard is here.
Oh, send him right in. Come right in, Willard.
Hi, Kramer. Here's the stuff, reams of reports.
After all that legwork, rest your feet.
Thanks, my dogs are worn down at the ankles.
Tell me about it. I don't like to read reports.
Well, Johnson and I scoured that half mile till we knew everybody by his first name. There's no transmitter operating, at least none that we could see. Whatever ham sets there were before the war, either dismantled or tucked away.
Sure none of them's been used?
Positive. There are only three. One owned by a kid named Schaff, another by a guy named Collins. The third's owned by a Walter Nedless.
Schaff?
In the Navy.
Collins?
In the Army.
Nedless?
Also Army.
Anyone likely to have been using those transmitters?
Nedless and Collins dismantled theirs. Everything's locked away. Schaff's is in working order, but his mother and sister swear that no one's been near it.
Keep your eye on the place?
Night and day. No one went in or out who didn't belong.
Who belongs?
Schaff's mother and sister and a boarder named Marquette.
What's he like?
Want to read the report?
Nope, you read it.
All right. Jack Marquette, works in Keller Shipyard, welder.
What else, Willard?
That's all.
You think Marquette could get in to operate that transmitter?
It's in Shaft's room. Mother and sister keep the door locked, waiting for the kid to come home.
Okay, Willard. Good work. Stay with it.
Right. Looks like a dead end.
Maybe. See you later.
We need help on this job. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Kramer. This is Roy Matthews.
How are you, Professor?
Feeling fine, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, some girl found a gadget out on the beach, so today our problem isn't who done it, it's what is it.
What does it look like?
It's sort of a sport model tin can made of some kind of alloy that looks and feels about like aluminum.
Send it over. I'll run it through the lab.
Thanks, Professor. We can always depend on MIT.
Good day, Kramer.
Well, that ought to take care of that.
What is it, Kramer?
Chief, I'd like to take another run down to Dorchester.
Now, look, Kramer. Have you got a girlfriend down there, or don't you think Willard is doing the job?
Oh, you're wrong on both counts. You see, our spy on the killer cycles is still at large, and I'd like to do a little checking.
I appreciate all that, but what about our metal tube?
Now, Summers reports it has nothing to do with Army or Navy, so I'm sending it over to MIT. They're going to run it through the lab.
Good. Maybe if you're a good boy and settle the gadget matter, I'll put you back on that little spy chase.
I was never off of it. Miss Oakes.
Yes, Mr. Kramer?
On my desk, you'll find a metal container. I want you to pack it up and send it to Professor Roy Matthews at MIT. And close a note for me saying, this is it. What is it? Sincerely yours, et cetera, et cetera.
Is that all?
I don't like long letters. And, if Mr. Berman should call, tell him I've gone fishing.
Fishing? You are, Mr. Kramer? Where?
At Dorchester.
I hope you catch something.
Yes, yes, indeed. I hope so, too.
Well, well, Mr. Kramer. Ever since Danny's been away in the Navy, you know, Marcella and I have had to take in boarders. Would you like to see the room?
Yes, I'd like to very much.
Right this way, please. We have only one boarder, a Mr. Marquette, oh, a lovely gentleman. Not a bit of bother, neat as a pin.
Sounds like a wonderful guy to have around, Mrs. Schaff.
Oh, he is. Of course, Marcel and I said we'd never take more than one boarder, but Mr. Marquette's been so wonderful. He's really been no trouble at all. I do hope you're not fussy, Mr. Kramer.
Oh, easiest person in the world to please, Mrs. Schaff.
Here we are, then. Right next to Mr. Marquette.
Good.
Of course, it's a little smaller than Mr. Marquette's, but he's been with us, and he needs a little more room for his hobby.
Hobby?
Yes. Oh, he's so lonely, the poor man. But he does have fun with his photography.
Oh, wonderful hobby.
He passes so much of the time with it. $15 be all right, Mr. Kramer?
$15? Oh, that's expensive for just a room, isn't it?
That's with board, Mr. Kramer. Oh, you see, the price of food has risen sky high. But if you want to eat out, the price will be $7 a week. Is that all right?
Fine, fine, just fine. I'll pay 2 weeks in advance now.
Oh, that's wonderful. And here's your key, Mr. Kramer.
Thank you. Mrs. Schaff, did you say Marquette works in the day?
Yes. Why?
Well, I have a night shift, and I was thinking about sleeping during the day.
Hello, Chief, over here at the bar.
And what's the idea of having me meet you in this beer joint?
Well, I don't want to attract too much attention over at the rooming house. It's safer here.
And what's this routine your girl gives me about going fishing?
Chief, I think I'm on something pretty hot. Over at this rooming house where I'm staying, there's a guy named Marquette, see?
Kramer, you're the best man I've got in this department, but the most obstinate. I thought I told you to stick to that tin gadget. I've got Willard on his case.
Just a minute, Chief. This is interesting. Listen. Here's a guy named Marquette, a nice, steady, dependable boarder. Never goes anywhere, never does anything. At the shipyard, he's considered a good worker.
So?
So, this is my problem, Mr. Anthony. I was wondering about a guy who has photography for a hobby, buys all sorts of developers, fixing baths, but he never buys any film.
How'd you learn that?
I checked at the photographic store where he buys his stuff. And furthermore, why would a guy like that keep bags of grain in his room?
Grain? You mean, wheat, stuff like that?
That's it. Now, why?
You think you've got something?
I know I have. And another thing. His room adjoins Danny Schaff's room. Connecting door between. He could slip in, use a transmitter for a few seconds, then out. Mrs. Schaff and the daughter never would suspect.
I see. Well, I'll get Willard to jimmy the transmitter so he can't use it.
Oh, no, not yet, Chief. Because I got a rough idea that we might like to know whom he contacts and why.
Well, I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess you've got something there, Kramer.
Thanks, Chief.
By the way, some Professor Pal of yours at the Institute has been calling you.
Oh, Professor Matthews. It's about that metal gadget, I guess.
Oh, good. I certainly hope he knows what it is.
Yeah. Now, about this Marquette, I think...
Now, look, Kramer. This is not your assignment, remember? That tin can gadget is preying on my mind. And I've got to know what it is.
Right, Chief. Okay, I'll run right down to the Institute and find out. Professor Roy Matthews, please. He's expecting me.
Oh, yes, right in there, in the laboratory, sir.
Thank you. Hello, Roy. What's cooking?
Hello, Kramer. I didn't hear you come in.
The chief tells me you called.
Yes. Where'd you say you got that gadget you sent in?
Oh, some vacationist sent it to us. Found it on a beach. You mean you're stumped, too?
Not exactly. Come over here by the light.
Don't keep me in suspense.
Well, it's an alloy. German make.
German?
Yeah, they use it in place of aluminum. Now, take a look at it through the microscope. See anything?
Are those powder burns on the bottom?
They are.
So?
Notice anything different about it?
You added something, didn't you?
Yeah, just a couple of catches to hold the tube shut. These are spring hinges. The tube closes, and the catches keep the tube from opening. But if a cartridge is fixed to go off and arranged so that the force of the explosion, just a tiny one, pushes a plunger like this, and the tube flies open and releases whatever's inside.
And what's inside? Incendiary bomb?
Oh, no, nothing that exciting. Here, we'll put some light inside the tube. Now, look through the microscope.
Oh, I don't see anything.
Along the side, those little threads, or what look like threads.
Oh, yeah, I see them.
An ornithologist would tell you those were fragments of feathers.
Feathers? Hey, feathers! Grain, wheat!
What's the matter with you?
You did it, Professor, you did it! I'll thank you later. Right now, I gotta get to the office.
We're listening to Henry Fonda as government agent Selden Kramer in the dramatic adventure of The Spy on the Killer Cycles on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company. Maker of better things for better living through chemistry. Government agent Selden Kramer has pieced together several widely separated bits of information, all pointing to activities of the German espionage. He reports his findings to his chief.
And I'm telling you, this is it, Chief. That metal can is a pigeon carrier, shot off a German sub. The can flies into the air, the cartridge releases the springs, and the bird takes off.
I get it.
Sure, and it ties right in with Marquette.
Marquette? How do you figure that?
That's why he has grain in his room, for a homing pigeon. A pigeon carrying film. Film. That's why he needs developers fixing solutions.
Okay, pull him in, Kramer.
No, not yet. Willard and Gilmore are watching his place night and day. They'll pick up any pigeon that comes in, bring it here. Once Marquette gets the message, he'll contact the senders by Schaff's transmitter. Then we'll nail the whole gang. Kramer speaking.
This is Willard. We just snared a pigeon.
Good. Bring him right in and don't spare the horsepower.
Yes?
Chief.
What is it, Kramer?
Willard's on his way in with a pigeon. Have the cryptography man ready to decode any message this bird might be carrying.
I call Kramer. Tell him Willard is here with
a
pigeon.
He's expecting you, Mr. Willard. Take it right into the dark room next to his office.
Kramer?
Yeah, good work, Willard. Give me that pigeon.
Here it is. Easy.
Da-ha. I thought so. 8-millimeter film in the tube on the pigeon's foot. Now, the first thing we do is develop this film, but fast.
Uh-huh.
Then we make an exact duplicate negative on that optical printing machine. Once we have that duplicate, we put it back on the pigeon, and then Marquette won't know anybody tampered with his messenger or the message. Let's see, what time is it now?
2:30.
Marquette gets home at 5. That gives us 2.5 hours to get set. The film's probably in code. And we've got to break it before Marquette gets the duplicate.
Cryptography men are here, Kramer.
Okay, Chief. Here's the film.
Smithson, put it in the projector. All right, turn out the lights.
There we are. Think you can break it?
Five-letter groups. All right, boys, let's get to work. A, X, B, X, A. First group. Second group, C, Q, F, T, Y. 12th group. Y-M-A-C-B. Y-M-A-C-B. It's tough, Kramer.
Now, look, you've got to break it before 5. It's 4:15 now.
Substitute Y for E, get C. Second group under first. Substitute C for Q, get A. That gives us C-A-L-L. Call. Next letter's a no. Work on next group.
Get it fast, boys. It's 4:40.
Got it, Kramer. Message reads, call 8. Meet Coast Landing Saturday. Radio time and place.
Coast Landing Saturday. Kramer here.
This is Willard. Marquette's on his way home.
Okay, Willard, the job's done, thanks. Marquette's on his way. Open that window. Okay, Mr. Pigeon, if you ever flew fast, you gotta do it now. You're working for Uncle Sam. Did you get it, Willard?
Right.
Is it the same code?
Same code.
Hello, Chief. You still there?
Still with you.
We intercepted this message. The boys are decoding.
Good.
It's just as we suspected. Marquette started transmitting within an hour after the pigeon arrived.
Here's the decoded message.
Here's the message, Chief. Rendezvous Saturday, your sector.
Good going.
And we've got the time and location, Chief.
Good work, Kramer. Better pick up Marquette.
Well, Chief, they sure picked a good black night.
Yeah. I just contacted Navy. They have two lighter-than-air patrols covering the sector awaiting our signal.
Blimps, huh?
Yeah.
That sub won't get back to Germany if the Navy can help it.
Got your sector covered?
Yeah, we got 40 men spotted up and down the beach. If those Heinies try to land anywhere within 5 miles of this place, they're going to be mighty
Johnson
surprised.
Johnson calling.
Chief.
Yeah?
Radio call.
This is Johnson. Marquette left his house at 3:20 this morning. We picked him up. No struggle. A German Luger 38 and a half-mile flashlight. What shall we do with him?
Johnson, bring him down here.
Yeah, don't let him miss the party.
Okay, Willard. Check the sector. The time is 4:22. Everybody on guard. It should come in the next 30 minutes. I'll take the Navy wavelength.
Sector 1. Time is 04:22. Eyes open next 30 minutes.
Navy.
Sector 2.
This is Berman. Government. Time is 04:22. Should happen in the next 30 minutes. Can you glide your blimps over the sector without motor sound?
Government. This is Navy. Sector will be blanketed. We'll cut motors and spot sub with radar.
Any report, Willard?
Nothing so far, Chief.
Hey!
What's up, Kramer?
Look, a light. One long flash, two short ones. Quick, give me Marquette's flashlight.
Willard, notify the entire sector on blanket wavelength. Okay, Kramer, give him the flash in return.
This ought to bring him in for the little rendezvous. Give me that mic, Willard. Navy, this is government. Start your glide and happy hunting on that radar. Here they come, Chief, into the beach. Stand by.
All right, Kramer. Give the signal.
Get that searchlight on. That's good.
There they are, in rubber boats.
Radio the patrol boat to close in. I'm going down and join the reception committee.
Patrol boat, close in.
Down here, Chief. We nabbed the whole boatload.
Good boy, Kramer. Well, well. Welcome to the United States, gentlemen. We're glad to be here to receive you. Put the cuffs on him, Jordan.
One of them got hit, Chief.
Willard, patch him up and have his chums carry him to the ambulance. Hey, what's this? Another rubber boat?
Yeah, they were towing it.
Well, now, let's take a look and see what kind of presents these Nazis were bringing us. Well, will you look at this, Kramer?
What is it, Chief?
Oh, coal of all things. Boxes of coal.
Coal? Let me see. Well, how do you like that? Pick these lumps open and I'll bet you'll find dynamite.
Dynamite?
Sure, why else would they have brought this stuff? A few lumps in the coal supply of a defense plant and then wham, we got another unaccountable disaster on our hands.
Well, how about that? Boy, that's a new one.
Look, Kramer. Look, a big box of fountain pens.
Fountain pens?
Mm-hmm.
Give me one, Chief.
Yeah.
Well, how do you like this for a poison pen? Watch, Chief. Unscrew the cap like this.
Toss it in the ocean.
Right. Clever people, these Nazis. Incendiary pens ready to write plenty of trouble.
Well, we've spared ourselves plenty of trouble catching these saboteurs before they had a chance to put this stuff to work.
Hey, Chief. Navy reports their blimps have spotted the sub.
Good. I hope they don't miss.
Look, the blimps have their searchlights on.
There's the sub. Caught in the light.
They're trying for a crash dive. Right on the button.
Good. Well, that's the end of that sub. Oh, Johnson, tell Navy we picked up a boatload of Nazi ambassadors of ill will.
Right.
Willard, have your men bring in the stuff and see that our guests are made comfortable.
Yes, sir. All right, boys, let's get this.
Well, that's that, Kramer.
Think we can call it a night, Chief?
Yep. Not a bad night at that. Well, let's get back to the car.
You know, I was just thinking what a wonderful thing a vacation is.
Mm-hmm. A vacation? Now, wait a minute, Kramer.
Take it easy. I didn't mean for me. I was just thinking of that vacationer who picked up that metal tube and sent it in.
What about her?
Well, one fine day when this war's over, we can walk up to her and say, now it can be told. We caught a boatload of saboteurs, sank a sub, and trapped a spy on the kilocycles. Thanks to you.
Henry Fonda, star of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, will return in just a moment. Now, here is Gain Whitman.
Can you imagine a show being a surprise to the folks who put it on? The DuPont Company put on an exhibit in Wilmington recently that surprised a good many of us who work for the DuPont Company. It was a collection of about 2,000 things used by the armed forces during the war, made of or made with DuPont products. Here's why it surprised some of us. The DuPont Company has plants in several parts of the country, and under military secrecy during the war, the people at one plant often had no idea how materials made at another plant were used. Here they were at last, hundreds upon hundreds of them, out where everyone could see them. Take just one DuPont product, nylon, for instance. At one end of the room were tiny electrical coil forms, no bigger than your thumbnail, of nylon plastic. At the other stood a gigantic military tire, 9 feet tall and weighing 1,500 pounds, containing enough nylon tire cord to make 11,000 pairs of stockings. There was gleaming nylon rope used to tow gliders behind a mother plane. And we got another surprise when we saw a glider tow rope with a loose braid of white, black, and red wires inside it, a telephone line. The pilots of the plane and glider could chat over the phone, and when the cable stretched, the wire stretched with it. We learned the jungle fighters were dressed almost from top to toe in nylon. Nylon head nets to protect them against mosquitoes. Nylon ponchos to keep them dry. Nylon jungle boots and shoelaces. We saw nylon cot covers and nylon mosquito tents and hammocks. We saw nylon stretchers for wounded men. We saw armor vests of heavy nylon cloth in layers. Cloth so unbelievably strong that it took the place of metal armor. And dozens of other things made of just this one DuPont product, nylon. Well, the war is over, and nylon is on its way back to you now. The DuPont Company is making more nylon yarn than ever before, enough to supply every woman in the United States with more nylon stockings than ever before. As you know, DuPont makes the nylon yarn. Other manufacturers take the yarn and make the things you want, like stockings. It takes time for them to knit the stockings and dye them. It will take more time for the manufacturers to distribute hosiery to the stores. But nylon stockings are on the way. Made of nylon, one of DuPont's better things for better living through chemistry.
And now, here is the star of tonight's DuPont Cavalcade, Henry Fonda.
Thank you, everyone. When you're overseas, you think about one thing. What it's going to be like to come home to America and stay home. What it's going to be like to see the family again after you've been separated by 10,000 miles of ocean and 3 or 4 years. Next week, Cavalcade will present the story of one such reunion in an original drama entitled Children, This Is Your Father. Loretta Young will be the star. I think you'll all want to listen next week at this same time to this absorbing story with lovely Loretta Young as its star.
Cavalcade programs of particular interest to servicemen and women are broadcast overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. The music for tonight's DuPont Cavalcade was composed and conducted by Robert Armbruster. Our Cavalcade play was written by Bernard Fiennes and Russell Hughes. Henry Fonda appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. This is Tom Collins inviting you to listen next week to Loretta Young in Children, This Is Your Father on the Cavalcade of America, brought to you by the DuPont Company of Wilmington, Delaware.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Lincoln is the only president of the United States whose last military rank before becoming chief executive was private. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about the craziest military drill in all history. Tsar Nicholas I of Russia devised one of the craziest and, in a sense, cruelest military drills ever known. It was called the water drill and was designed to perfect a crisp marching style. The drill consisted of a soldier who practiced goose-stepping while carrying a glass of water on top of his military hat. If the Russian soldier spilled as much as a single drop, he was obliged to serve an additional year for every drop of water he spilled, believe it or not.
Wheaties presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, The Trigger Men.
At 9 o'clock on the evening of May 27, 1947, Jasper Leach, operator of an independent service station in Ada, Oklahoma, was preparing to shut down for the night. Suddenly, two men in a green convertible pulled into the service island of his station.
Close for the night, fellas. Pumps are all locked.
We gotta get some gas.
All night place on the highway south, mister. Big station, you're heading that way.
I don't like big stations. We're gassing up right here. I got a tire you can fix.
Now look, I told you I'm close to the night.
Hey, stop the chatter, will you?
You heard him, Hick. Now get moving, or I'll put a slug in you.
All right, mister. I ain't arguing with a gun.
He gets that pump going. Make him fill a couple extra 5-gallon cans.
Tight. All right, Joe. Stop playing the party and get that flat sparrow if you're so hot for action.
Okay, but let's shake it up, eh?
Well, come on, Hayseed. Get with the pump.
Keys are in the office.
Well, let's get them. And while we're in here, you might as well open the safe.
I don't know the combination.
Yeah? Oh! I said open it, you hick.
All right, mister, I'll open it. But you ain't getting away with this. Not by a dang sight.
We'll talk that over later. Just you and me, Hick. Just you and me.
KTX-8 all units. KTX-8 all units. Oklahoma State Police advised that about 9 p.m. of 527, gas station attendant in Ada, Oklahoma, was robbed and beaten to death with tire iron. Subjects tentatively identified as number one, Joe Gordon, average size, eyes blue, hair blonde, complexion fair. Number two, Tiny Gordon, 6'3", peculiar walk, pigeon-toed, same coloring as brother. Subjects now believed to be in Texas en route to Mexican border. Wanted six states and FBI for murder, bank robbery, narcotics, other charges. Use caution. These men are dangerous. KDXA, Austin.
Tales of the Texas Rangers will continue in just a moment.
Get up and get at 'em with Wheaties. Yup, for folks up and doing, for folks going places, breakfast of champions. Sure, begin a better breakfast with Wheaties tomorrow and see if you don't feel the difference all morning long. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You got it? There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Energy? You bet. Whole wheat energy. Vitamins and minerals? You bet. And protein, too. That's why Wheaties at 7 can make a difference at 11. There's energy in them thar flakes. You try them. Tomorrow morning, make yours Wheaties. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and eat happy. Yes, and work happy. Tomorrow, see for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you.
There were no further signs of the Gordon brothers on the night of May 27th. But on the morning of the 28th, Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers received a report that looked like a lead and immediately sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
You sent for me, Captain?
Yeah, Jace. I want you to get right over to the General Hospital in Palo Pinto County. Been a double shooting. Deputy Sheriff and his son.
Where'd it happen?
Near Mineral Wells, but check the hospital first. Shooting took place during the night. Rancher found the men this morning.
Mineral Wells, that's on the road south from Ada, Oklahoma. You think it might have been the Gordon brothers?
It smells like them. They were headed south, according to all previous reports. I figure they're making their run for the border, and they'll kill anybody who tries to stop them.
Sure looks that way.
The deputy never saw who gunned him, Jace. If he can talk, get all the information you can. And if it looks like the Gordons, stay with it all the way. We don't want them to get across the border.
I understand.
Judging by their past movements, they steal cars and dump them for new ones at regular intervals before they get too hot. So don't pin too much on any car descriptions.
I won't. I'll see you later.
Oh, Jace.
Yeah?
You get anything hot, report it by phone. If I have anything for you, I'll have the radio dispatcher tell you to call in. The men we're after might have a short wave set.
Right, Captain.
One thing more, Jace. This department hasn't lost a man in a long time. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one to spoil the record. I checked my car out and headed for Palo Pinto County. I reached the hospital at 9:45 a.m. and saw the doctor in charge.
He'll pull through, I think, but his condition is critical. Shot 3 times through the back. One of the bullets is lodged in his spine.
Which room's he in?
I'll show you.
Deputy's son hurt bad, too?
Too bad, Ranger. Dead on arrival.
He know it?
Yep, he knows. Be better if you could wait.
I wish I could. I can't.
I understand. He's in here.
The deputy was lying on his stomach, a dazed look on his face like he was remembering something over and over, but still couldn't believe it. I knelt on the floor beside him so he could see me while he was telling me what happened.
You see, my boy built himself one of them hot rod cars out of an old chassis and spare parts. You know youngsters.
Yeah.
I broke down on him last night. Fooled with it and couldn't get it to start. Called up home about midnight. Tell me and his ma why I was out so late.
Sure.
I drove out in my car to meet him where he called from, up at Salesville. He both fooled around with his car some, but wasn't fixing to go at all.
Here. You sip a little water through this glass straw. Better?
Yeah, thank you.
You couldn't get the car started?
So finally I told the kid to come on home. And we'd get it taken care of today.
Hmm.
Reckon that don't matter none now.
What happened on the way home?
We passed the carpet place. Big place. It raises silkworms.
Here. Let me fix that pillow for you a bit.
Thank you. Worms feed off the leaves of the mulberry trees. We was passing the grove. Carbeth's mulberries. I spot a fire. Little campfire, like deep in the grove. Almost out of sight.
I see.
Thought I better stop and have a look. The kid, he wanted to get out of the car with me. I don't know why I let him, but I had no way of knowing.
Oh, of course, you couldn't know.
We walked in. I guess they heard us coming. One of them kicked at the fire. I saw his shadow. That's all. I yelled at him to stand where they was, and they started blasting.
Go on.
I turned, pushed the kid down. Something hit me in the back. I went out. When I came to, my kid was lying there. Just a couple of feet from me. 15 years old.
All right. Don't try to talk anymore.
Get him for me, Ranger. Please get him. Me and my kid.
I left the hospital and headed for the Carveth Ranch outside Mineral Wells. Big Jim Carveth, the owner of the place, took me into the mulberry grove where the deputy and his boy had been gunned.
Well, this is the spot. Sheriff's combed it over pretty complete, though.
Hmm. Had their fire right over here.
What are you digging out of them ashes?
Fire wasn't burning long. Started it with a road map and an envelope. A little corner of the envelope not quite burned. I can just make out the stamp.
Huh?
It's Mexican. Maybe our lab can make out the postmark.
Out of that charred hunk?
Yeah. If I can slide it into this fresh envelope without breaking it up too much.
You fellas sure can figure a lot from a little, I reckon.
Sometimes. When they left, they went through there toward the road.
How do you know that?
Here's the mark where the fire was kicked. Steps from it move that way.
It might have been the sheriff and his men.
Not in low heel eastern boots. See the impressions?
Oh.
One set, same as yours or mine, except for the difference in boots.
Huh.
The other set scuffs in at the toes. Man who made those is pigeon-toed.
Well, you sound like you could draw a picture of them.
I could now. Let's see where these prints lead. They led to the road, or almost to the road. Just at the edge of the grove were tire markings where a car had been backed into the mulberries to screen it from sight.
Yeah, this is it, all right. Can see where it scraped the branches.
Did more than scrape them. And this one's been torn off. The part that got torn off isn't on the ground. Low branch, too.
Oh, that means something?
From the tire marks and the height of the branch, it means the baggage compartment of the car was open and then closed down on the end of the branch. See, it snapped off when the car moved.
You sound like that's worth knowing.
It might be worth plenty. The highway patrol turns up an abandoned car with a piece of mulberry branch caught on it. I drove back to headquarters and turned the charred envelope over to the lab. Then I went in and reported to Captain Stinson.
Sounds like the Gordon brothers, all right.
I'd bet on it. And if they're in the habit of ditching their cars, we better check on all the stolen and abandoned. We find the car, we'll know which way they're headed.
I'll send out a bulletin on it. What did Lab say about the envelope?
Burned pretty bad, Captain, but they think they can restore it. Take time, though.
Well, if they can bring out that Mexican postmark, it might tell us where the Gordons plan to cross the border.
That's what I was thinking. They won't go through a regular border station. It'll be an illegal crossing. And they'll probably have a hideaway arranged on the other side.
Yeah, probably other members of the Crawford gang.
I figure they'll try to make it before tomorrow morning. They'll be making their big run tonight.
Well, head south, Jace, toward the border. We'll relay all information to you as it comes up.
I'd better get charcoal out of the barn and hitch up my horse trailer.
That's a good idea. Wherever they try to cross, it's a cinch it won't be good territory for a car.
The border stations are covered, though, aren't they, in case they do try a legal crossing?
Now, their mugs are hanging in every customs house from Brownsville to El Paso. FBI has given them extra cover. And the Mexican police are helping, too.
I better get going, then. So long, Captain.
So long, Jace. And good luck.
I loaded charcoal into the horse trailer and headed south, aiming for the center of the border near Valverde County so I could change my direction fast either way. I kept a lead foot on the gas pedal. Towards sundown, I was just outside El Dorado when the radio dispatcher came through telling me to call headquarters. I got Captain Stinson on long distance.
That mulberry branch is paying off, Jace. Abandoned car with a piece of it caught in the trunk has just been found in Fort Stockton, Pecos County.
How long ago?
Less than 15 minutes. And the motor was still warm. Highway patrol is throwing up roadblocks at all points, south and west. They can't be far out of Stockton.
Must be planning to try a border crossing in Presidio or Brewster County, then. Any report on that burned envelope?
Still working on it, Jace. You better head for Fort Stockton. If they do get past our block, they're within 90 miles of the border.
I'll do my best, Captain. So long.
Well, it's another baseball summer with ball fans all over the country watching their favorites and baseball champions all over the major leagues eating their Wheaties. Yup, and do they eat their Wheaties? The Philadelphia Phillies, Ashburn and Ennis. The Cleveland Indians, Lemon and Boudreaux. Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cards. George Kell of the Detroit Tigers. Pee Wee Reese of the Dodgers. They're all getting their Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And you know, so are a lot of other smart people. Folks who want high-stepping energy to stride through their mornings high, wide, and handsome. They're getting Wheaties, too. Are you? Well, listen. You may not play ball for a living, but you can use Wheaties energy. You can use Wheaties vitamins, minerals, and protein. You can use Breakfast of Champions, too. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. A whole golden kernel rolled out flat and toasted. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can do so much and help send you through the morning on high. That's why Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You have some. Wheaties, the crisp way to get your whole wheat. Tomorrow morning, make yours milk and fruit and Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
I started for the roadblock area in Pecos County, but I never got there. I was still 50 miles away when headquarters radioed me to contact them by phone. Had a feeling the news wasn't going to be good, and it wasn't.
We can forget about Pecos County, Jace. The Gordons broke through our roadblock.
Where?
Back road near Hovey. They turned a Tommy gun on the highway patrol and a sheriff's car.
Kill anybody?
Two, and two more badly wounded. The men were just found when they didn't answer a radio call. Happened 2 hours ago.
Then the Gordons could be at the border by now.
The wildest part of it, Jace. And you'll have to guess what... Just a second.
I didn't hear for it.
Here it is, Jace. Lab report on the burnt envelope.
Where was it mailed from?
Coquillas. Right across the Rio Grande from the Santiago Mountains. That country's murder.
Worse for them than for us. River swollen by spring rains. They'll need a boat to cross.
County sheriff can beat through the mountains with posses. 10 miles each side.
I'll get as close as I can by car, and then Charcoal and I'll ride in. The posse will corner them, we'll have them.
You're the closest ranger unit, Jace. But those men are dangerous. You want to wait for some help?
No time for waiting. Now's the time for getting them. You'll hear from me. South of Brewster County, the world comes to an end. I drove as far as I could and met one wing of the sheriff's posse where Maravillas Creek runs into the Rio Grande. Any sign of them, Sheriff?
Nope. Got men working in from the other side of the mountains, though.
I'll get my horse and ride in with you ways. Then we can split and fan out.
Good. Mighty fine horse, Ranger.
The best. Come on, Charco. Which of your men knows this section best?
Jaime Sanchez, I reckon.
I'd like him to ride with me when we split.
Oh, he'd be proud to. Sanchez!
Hey, you want me for something, Sheriff?
Ranger wants you to ride with him.
That's good with me.
Thanks, Sanchez. You got any signal arranged with the rest of your posse?
3 shots. 2 seconds between each one.
Good. Well, let's ride.
All right, men. Mount up.
We'll follow the river, and then you can drop off in pairs and head in toward the peak. The sheriff will pair you off. If you hit ground too rough for your horses, tie them off and move through on foot.
All got that?
All right, let's move.
Come on, get up.
Along the river, closing the circle and hoping that Joe and Tiny Gordon were inside of it. The country got rougher, and no horse could have taken it without the light of the moon. posse paired off and thinned out. Finally, the sheriff and his last deputy turned off, and Sanchez and I went on alone. How far are we from Boquilla, Sanchez?
About 5 miles, senor, and it will be right across the Rio.
We better turn toward the peak, then.
We can't go in very far in the horses. Maybe we should leave them right here. Easier to find again.
You're probably right.
Oh, boy.
Tie them off over here.
See? There are some cabins up here in the mountains, but the men we are after wouldn't know about them.
What kind of cabins?
Old hunters' cabins from long ago when there was good hunting. But most of the game is gone. Nobody lives in them anymore.
No, but the Gordons might know about them anyhow.
You said they do not know this country.
Yeah, they could have been told. They're meeting somebody in Mexico. Some of their gang might have come through here before. That's why they picked this spot.
They're in such a hurry, though, I don't think they would stop.
Yeah, they would if the big boy got tired.
The big boy?
Yeah, Tiny Gordon. He's pigeon-toed. Something wrong with his feet. He's big and heavy and carrying a lot of weight. He's going to slow down in this country.
I think you're right, Ranger Pearson. He ain't got good feet. He's slowed down plenty in here.
The cabins in the territory we're covering?
See, two of them.
Now let's take a look.
See, the first one is right up this way to the left, about 2 miles in.
Seem to be anybody in there.
No. Maybe they just wait in there.
Soon find out. Stay clear of the doorway and keep your gun ready while I go in.
See, but you better have your guns ready, too.
Don't worry. I got them. Watch it. Nobody here. Come in. Lamp here. I'll light it.
Something wrong with the lamp, senor?
No. But I don't think I'll light it after all. Use your flashlight instead.
See? There.
Feel the glass. The lamp chimney.
It's warm, senor.
Used less than half an hour ago. Could any of the posse have reached here before us?
I don't see how. They all turn in further back.
I mean the group working in from the other side.
No, they came all the way from Hot Springs, further than where we start. Mm. That's where the sheriff's deputy went to get them.
Flash your light around a little.
See.
Wait, turned on that chair again.
See.
Look. Dust wiped off it. Somebody sitting there not long ago. That scraped spot on the floor. Sat with his legs straight out. The scraping was done by his heels.
See, you have a good eye.
I think I'll sit down there and stretch my legs. Mm-hmm. My heels reach those marks?
No, not quite so far. But why do you do that?
Because I'm 6 feet tall. The man that sat in that chair is taller. Tiny Gordon is 6'3". Come on. Look around. See which way they headed.
I think this way, Ranger Pearson.
Why? What'd you find?
Somebody step on this dead log, take off a piece of the bark.
Yeah. And prints there, too. Here, flash your light.
See? Here.
Two sets. One of them with the toes turning in. Now throw the light that way.
See? That bush.
First one through here held the branch back for the other to pass. Knocked off a few berries. Crushed them on the ground.
It's still wet from the juice.
We got direction now. Let's move. You better put that light off.
They're headed for the Rio, all right. Shouldn't we fire the gun now, the signal for the posse?
No, we're too close. Gordons might hear it, too. Probably think they're safe in here. They don't know we've got a postmark. Better chance of getting them cold if they don't know.
See. You think they're going to fight if we catch them?
With murder charges in a couple of states, they got nothing to lose. They'll fight plenty. They left a trail all the way, easy to follow even by moonlight. Got fresher as we moved along and saw more and more spots where Tiny Gordon had stopped to rest, and the pace spots where Joe Gordon had moved around restlessly waiting for him. It wasn't long before we could hear the lapping of the Rio Grande as the foothills dipped down toward it. Then we heard them, moving and talking in the reeds at the edge of the river.
All right, take it easy, man.
How do you know?
How do you know they got our letter? Expected us last night.
Let's try again. No, we ain't moving on a time schedule.
Suppose they don't come. Be light in a couple of hours.
So we'll go back to that cabin and hold up again until tomorrow night. Besides, who's going to see us here?
Maybe an Indian or something. I don't know who's liable to be tramping around. What are you, Daniel Boone or something?
That Dryer.
Don't you tell me to dry up, you little punk.
That Tiny.
We figured that right. They're expecting a pickup from the Mexican side.
See, good thing the boat did not come
brought
yet.
Those cowboys.
Lucky you could carry a .45. You try to carry a Tommy gun away, you were flopping around in there. You'd kill yourself and me, too.
I might kill you someday, Joe, shooting your mouth off.
Come on, try it. I'll blow your brain.
Why, you want to punch in the jaw, Joe?
Try it.
Well, they got .45s. But so have we, see? Let's move in and take them. We slipped down to the edge of the reeds. I tapped Sanchez to move off about 30 yards so they'd have to come between us if they made a break away from the river. We couldn't see them in the reeds, but they couldn't see us either. Sanchez reached his position, and then I straightened up.
Tiny!
Hey,
Joe!
Who's that? Get up, Tiny!
I'm a Texas Ranger. There's a posse of 20 men in the hills. You're surrounded. Will you come out? That won't do you any good.
This way, Tiny!
Open up, Sanchez! That's a posse signal, Tiny. They'll all be heading this way.
You won't be here to meet them. Wait, come.
What's the matter, Tiny? Your gun empty?
Mine isn't, Chapman!
Hey, how'd you fellas ever kill anybody? You don't even come close.
Where are you hicks? I'll kill all of you stinking hicks.
I'm over here, signal.
Oh, yeah?
The rest of the posse will be here soon. It'll be daylight. We'll starve you out or burn you out. You're hogtied. You better give up while you can.
I ain't giving up. I'll take a lot of your hits with me. Come on, Joe.
Wait, will you? Bring them this way, son.
Joe! 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 You dirty!
You had your chance, Tiny.
You dirty...
All right, Sanchez.
You got it, senor.
Guess this job is almost finished.
Almost finished? They look like they finished good.
Yeah, I mean the rest of the Crawford gang from across the river. Well, a nice surprise for them if they come over in their boat. Posse will be here soon, and we may be able to take them by surprise.
Easier than these two, senor. You know, I don't think they like us very much.
I saw what they did to a deputy sheriff and his kid. I didn't like the Gordon brothers very much either.
Two hours later, other members of the Crawford gang were surprised and captured without resistance when they crossed the Rio Grande to keep their rendezvous with the Gordon brothers. They were turned over to federal authorities to stand trial for their crimes.
Well, partner, whether you're riding the Texas prairie or smelting steel in Pittsburgh, first you need your Wheaties. Yep, breakfast of champions for folks with big things to do. It's a brighter morning and a better job when you begin a good breakfast with Wheaties. And here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals, protein too. Whole wheat energy to help you stride through the morning high, wide, and handsome. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You try them. Golden flakes, crisp flakes, Wheaties flakes. Have some tomorrow with milk and fruit and see yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production Saddle Trim. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Tom McKee, Tom Holland, Jack Crucian, Byron Kane, and Jay Novello. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen Tuesday night to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.